This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. Hello and welcome to the Fun Kids Book Club. I'm Bex and I've got a lot of stuff on the go in this show. I'll be chatting to Scarlett Thomas, Harry Hill and John Bergerman. Plus, I'll be recommending our top five newest and bestest books. But first, to kick off the podcast, I thought I'd ask you a little trivia question. Now, don't worry, you'll get the answer at the end. The question is this: which of the Mr. Men was the first ever one? Which was the first ever Mr. Man? Was it A, Mr. Tickle? B, Mr. Happy? Or C, Mr. Bump? It's quite tricky, isn't it? It's quite hard. Don't worry, I'll tell you the answer a little bit later on. First up, let's have a little chat to the author Scarlett Thomas about her brand new book, Dragon's Green. Hello.
Hello, Bex.
Now, you are the author of a brand new book called Dragon's Green. And can you tell us a little bit about it? What is going on?
We've got a main character who is called Effie, and she's 11. And at the beginning of the book, her grandfather has been attacked, and he has this library of magical books that he asks Effie to look after. But her father sells them to this quite unpleasant man called Leonard LeVar. The grandfather also leaves Effie some objects, and when she touches them, she sort of becomes magical, kind of the beginning of their adventures.
So does everybody in the world become magic, or is it just her friends?
So everybody in the world could become magic via different methods. But if you touch one of these magical objects, your magic awakens anyway. So it doesn't happen to everyone in the world. It doesn't happen to most people in the world, but it could happen to anyone.
Oh, that's the kind of thing that I would read and be like, maybe it could happen to me.
Yeah, well, it would. The reason it's called the Worldquake Sequence is because 5 years before the first book starts, there's been this worldquake, the whole world shaking for 7.5 minutes. What happens after the worldquake is the internet is all gone. There's not much electricity left, and there are computers, but they just work like back in 1992.
When I was reading a bit of the book, and I don't know how anyone would cope going back without internet and kind of like mobile phones and that kind of thing.
Yeah, one of the things I like about writing the books is people do still have old mobile phones, but they just use them as torches and dictionaries.
Does it make it easier or harder to write about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think one thing I really like is making references to the olden days, which is essentially like now. So we know that there was a past where you could do all these things, but now you can't. It actually makes my life easier as a writer because I don't have to try and keep up with technology changes now, because, you know, realistically, between book one and, say, book five, technology is going to change, and then book one is going to seem really old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. So it was much easier for me to, you know, write the world from my imagination rather than the world as it actually is.
And is Effie the main character based on anyone at all, or is it just somebody that you had in your head that you thought this is the main character has to be?
I think she's basically like who I would have loved to have been at 11, and her friends are the friends I would have loved to have had. She's a bit braver than I am. She really is very brave. So like she faces a dragon, and she takes the place of one of her friends, not the main friends, but another friend who's about to be eaten by the dragon.
Oh, right. Wow. Now, yeah. I've, speaking of dragons, I read that the name for the book came from a sign that you saw.
Yeah. In fact, it was in a map. I saw that there was a real place called Dragon's Green, Sussex.
Right.
Because I thought, well, if this is called Dragon's Green and there's like a little village green, maybe there was a dragon here once. And yeah, then my imagination started working, and that's where the book came from.
And now also, it's your first book for children. You've written loads of adult books. Was it harder or more easy?
The only thing that was slightly easier was I just loved writing it. It just came at the right point in my life that I loved writing it so much. Not one minute of it felt like work.
That's very handy indeed, isn't it?
Yes.
would be okay if we did our quick fire round question?
Yes.
That's all right. Okay. Series of questions, but just say whichever one you think first. Okay. So here we go. Books or Kindles?
Books.
Heroes or villains?
Heroes.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
TV.
Writing or reading?
Writing.
Ooh. Adult novels or children's books?
Children's books.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Hogwarts.
Laptop or write by hand?
Laptop.
Adventure or magic?
Magic.
Bookshop visit or school tour?
School tour.
Mm. And finally, the big one, salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Oh, salt and vinegar every time.
Yes, me too. I totally agree. Thank you so much to Scarlett Thomas for coming in and chatting. You can get her book right now in, like, all of the bookshops. Right, I think it's time to chat to Imogen. She is here telling us all about her top five picks of the books of the moment.
Yes, I am. I'm back.
Hello.
Hello. Right, let's crack on, shall we? Because we've got lots of wonderful books. Right, the first book up this week is Scaredy Cat, Scaredy Cat by Phil Earle. Basically, it's about a girl called Kay Cat, and she has a nickname, Scaredy Cat, because she's quite timid and anxious, bless her heart. And when you meet her dad, you'll understand why. But when a mysterious old man is spotted on Story Street, Wilf Wilkinson, it starts an adventure for Kay. And Wilf isn't your average man. No, he wears a cloak, a strange pointy hat, and a walking stick, and looks suspiciously like a wand.
Do we think he's a wizard? He sounds very magical.
He couldn't be a wizard, could he? I'll let you read it and find out. Yeah, great little book. Obviously, we're coming up to October, and then it's a spooky month and Halloween. So, yeah, definitely one to get reading for that. And, yeah, check out what Scaredy Cat is all about.
Brilliant. I like the sound of that, yeah.
Next book is a little bit different. It's a non-fiction book.
It's a book I stole from you because it just looks really cool.
It does look really cool. It's by Tracy Turner, and it's illustrated by Fatty Burke, and the illustrations are really cool as well. And it's called Facts, One for Every Day of the Year.
Facts, exclamation mark.
Exclamation mark. And it's pretty much what it says on the tin. It gives you one fact for every day of the year. So you can flick to the date it currently is, you can flick to your birthday, your friend's birthday, or you can just go along with it, kind of like a calendar of facts.
That's a good idea,
if you will. And you can swat up, and there's little quizzes and stuff and drawings and all sorts of things for you to get involved with and impress all your friends and teachers with all these magical facts.
Yeah, when you go into school every day, you can have a different fact. You could be known as that person who's like, guys, I know everything. I've got a different thing to tell you every day.
Yeah, and everyone will be really jealous.
Exactly. I think it's a brilliant book. It's really fun, really cool.
Yeah, really fun book. Definitely check that one out. The third book that I am recommending is Terry Pratchett. Yes. It's a book called The Witch's Vacuum Cleaner and Other Stories. And it is a collection of 14 fantasy stories written by Terry Pratchett when he was young, when he was a budding fantasy novelist.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it was just finished up before he died. And they were written kind of when he was a teenager, around 17 years old. So you can kind of really tell his passion and his youth through the book. So they're, yeah, short stories, and the stories talk about animals and travels to magical lands and all sorts of stuff, including obviously a witch riding a vacuum cleaner.
Well, I mean, if you're used to a broomstick, I imagine the vacuum cleaner is just more efficient because it's quicker.
Quicker,
yeah.
Yeah, more bulky. I feel like it'd be more comfortable to sit on.
That's a good point, yes.
Yeah, especially if it was one of those red ones with the face. That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be quite cool.
Yeah, brooms don't look
not great. As cool nowadays, no.
No, not as cool. I think it's a really good, unique point for this witch, yeah.
I think this is, like you said before, really good for this time of year as well, because it's all about magic and fantasy.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, if you're a young, budding writer, you can see what Terry Pratchett was like and how he's improved and how his career went on, and that could be you.
Brilliant. I really want to read it. I love Terry Pratchett.
Yeah, me too. Right. And fourth, we have King Flashy Pants.
Bit different to Pratchett.
Yeah, a little bit. And The Toys of Terror, which is the third instalment of the King Flashy Pants books by Andy Reilly. It's a really cool book. I really enjoy it. It's got lovely drawings.
The book is a little bit like the title. It's like flashy and big and colourful and brash.
Yeah, definitely. And it's drawn by the same guy that wrote it, Andy. And it's got my fave thing, as we all know. It's got a map.
You do love a map, don't you?
Love a map.
Yeah.
And it's basically about a boy called Edwin, who's 9 years old, and he's a king. And he has a castle and all of that, and he is the king of Edwinland. But Emperor Nurbison is doing stuff like smiling and making toys for the peasants, And that's very strange because Emperor Nurbison isn't the nicest.
Oh, okay.
Sort. So what is he up to? It's for King Flashypants to find out.
I love that it's Edwin Land and his name is Edwin.
Edwin Land, yeah.
Maybe I'll start my own land called Bexland.
Yes. Bexland, that'd be great. So yeah, definitely grab it. It's got amazing drawings all the way through. It's really exciting, really easy to read. Definitely one to get your hands.
Brilliant. And what's the last choice for today's top five book picks?
And the last choice is Harry Hill, Matt Mills.
Ah, my old pal.
Your old pal, Harry Hill. Who I think is coming up on the show.
Very soon, yeah.
Yeah. It's all about a boy called Matt who loves stand-up comedy. And he studied from the best and memorised all the advice and spends hours and hours writing up jokes and thinking up jokes and stuff. And he really, really wants to be the Britain's youngest and funniest comedian. So when the school holds a talent show, Matt has the opportunity to demonstrate that he is the greatest and can get himself to the Apollo.
I've read this book, actually, and yeah. I love it because it's really funny because the book is just funny. The story is really good.
Yeah.
But also, Harry Hill's put in actual jokes. And it's like it's like part joke book and part storybook.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I really like this book.
Because Harry Hill's a very funny man.
He is, yeah.
So you can definitely tell that through his writing.
Yes.
Definitely one that we're going to find out a bit more about in a minute.
Very soon, yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about the top five books.
You're welcome.
They all sound excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Right, so yes, as Imogen just said, we are going to chat to Harry Hill right now. He's going to tell us all about his brand new book, Matt Mills.
Hello, Bex.
How are you?
Yes, it's me, Harry Hill. Nice to see you. Lovely place you've got here, I must say.
It's very blue, isn't it?
It's very blue.
Yeah, when they designed it, they got for blue under lighting there and
yeah,
the blue
I mean,
walls.
Don't get me wrong, I like blue, but there are other colours, Bex.
It turns out my boss really likes blue.
Good.
They were very excited about it. You probably know this already. You've got a new book.
I have a new book out.
It's really good.
Thank you.
I've been reading it this morning.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, I'm really pleased with it. It's called Matt Mills, the youngest stand-up comedian in the world. And basically, it came about because of the TV shows I do. I get a lot of letters from kids asking me how you become a stand-up comedian. So, obviously, I would write back to them, but I thought maybe if I wrote it in a book... kids,
it's the admin done, isn't it? Really,
it covers all the postage,
yeah.
And so that's what I did. And actually, when I started doing it, I realised that actually, you know, there's a lot of me in Matt Mills. You know, I was, you know, he's a 12-year-old boy. And when I was 12, I was kind of mad. Well, still am mad about comedy and jokes, and I would learn jokes and tell them to my friends. And so it was a lot of fun to write.
It does seem like a bit of a love letter to stand-up. Because you've
is,
got like jokes in there, and you've got like almost a handbook for new comedians as well.
Yeah, I've got a lot of tips because Matt keeps a little black book with him, which he writes things that he's learnt from doing gigs and new ideas for jokes, which is what I do. And, you know, the fact is, you're right, it is kind of a love letter to stand-up because I do think that, you know, good stand-up comedy is just a fantastic night out. What could be nicer than sitting and laughing at a comedian? So, I encourage people to write jokes, tell jokes, and have fun.
Was it... Because I really love, first of all, the fact you mentioned Bill Hicks and Stuart Lee in there. I was like, yes. Was it researching them?
Someone said to me, oh, well, maybe that's not really for kids. But I think...
They've got to know about it. It's fine.
I think kids are smarter than adults.
Yeah. No, I got the impression reading the book, it was like you weren't aiming it like down at kids. You were just like, look, this is a really fun thing. This is all about stand-up. So why not just share it?
Yeah, yeah. And also I wanted to put in some old comics that really influenced me or that I loved as a kid. So, you know, Tommy Cooper, Morecambe and Wise. You know, good comedy doesn't date, I think.
Now, in the book, Matt is desperate to be at the Apollo.
Yes.
Was that a big thing for you as well?
I have never done... Well, that I have played the Apollo.
Right.
And of course, you know, when I started... I mean, I don't do so much stand-up now, but when I was doing it on the circuit regularly all the time, you know, five nights a week, two shows Friday and Saturday.
That's a lot.
You know, it wasn't the Apollo wasn't necessarily the place for comedy. It's become that through that TV show, you know, Stand Up or the Live from the Apollo or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really very much a music venue. And this is kind of in an example of how stand up has really kind of taken off in the last, God knows, you know, 10 years perhaps or perhaps longer. So, yeah, I have played there and I love it. My favourite venue to play is a sort of 900, you know, 1,200 seat Victorian theatre, which I think is best for stand-up.
That's really very precise.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been doing it. I've played everywhere.
I've got to say, you've probably seen all of Edinburgh. You've seen all of London.
You know, I've played the Palladium and Drury Lane. I've played basketball courts, leisure centres, you know, rooms in pubs. I've got changed in toilets where you have to stand on your shoes.
Brilliant.
You know, and that's kind of what I've come round to thinking. There are some modern venues that are really good. You know, there's one in Manchester, for instance, the Lowry is a really well laid out one. But often, I mean, this is perhaps a bit boring for this, but often I think people who design new ones, they are constricted by it having to serve a number of purposes. So often they have to clear the seats out, it be a basketball court during the day.
Yeah, or a club later on at night.
A club, or it's, you know, a conference centre or a music venue. And there's something, you know, stand up, you have to be relatively close to the audience, you know.
I've been to one in London, which was an old toilet, a Victorian toilet.
Yeah. I've done that one.
Yeah.
In the city somewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a fun place to go. Why wouldn't you go there?
Yeah, there's one in Shepherd's Bush that used to be a toilet.
I've played that one
too.
As well.
Yeah, I've played a lot of toilets.
Hopefully that won't happen to Matt, fingers crossed. He also wants to go on a talent show.
Yeah, so, you know, he's got very few outlets because he's only 12.
Yeah.
And he lives in rural England, you know, it's in a village basically, or a small town, so, you know, there aren't many gigs, and this is the difficulty with of learning to be a stand-up, in that, you know, there's not, I mean, there are courses, but it's not really how you learn it, by doing
it.
You got to go and do gigs.
He goes to the WI as well,
so his manager, who's his mate Rob at that point, he books him a gig at the Women's Institute down the road, which
tough
is
crowd.
Basically, yeah, a tough crowd. It's older ladies. He gets paid in cheese, and Rob gets the sack shortly after that. And that's when he discovers his new manager, Kitty Hope, who's
on it.
Who is really on it. Yeah, it's in her blood. Her grandfather was a kind of big impresario in the West End. Yeah.
So I assume this must have been a really fun book to write.
Yeah, I did really enjoy it. You know, I got completely lost in it when I was writing it. And I'm really thrilled. You know, today is the first time I've seen an actual proper copy of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Copy. Looks really good, doesn't it?
So I should say, yeah, to everyone listening right now, so Matt has an amazing quiff.
Yes.
He's got some great kind of some thick glasses there. Big fan of the thick glasses. And I assume that is his manager there as well. Is that
That's Kitty?
Kitty,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that... You know, that hair he's got is sort of the sort of hair I used to have when I was 12. You know, I did have hair once, believe me. And it's been, the illustrations are by Steve May, who's a brilliant illustrator.
It's really fun. And also, yeah, I mean, just for kids, because I think stand-up is like being a rock star now. Like, it's just so cool. The idea of being able to do it is amazing. So I think a lot of kids, like you said, who've written to you will probably love reading this book and be like, oh, yeah, that's how comedy works. Yeah.
Well, because when I was a kid, I thought, oh, wow, it would be great to be a comedian. But I couldn't work out how you became one. You know, if you wanted to be an actor, you went to drama school. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wanted to be a painter, you went to art school. If you wanted to be a doctor, you went to medical school, which is obviously the mistake I made early on. But there didn't seem to be, you know, no one would tell me. I couldn't find out how to...
Just going
to
do it.
So that's partly why I've put it in that book.
Now, for all authors, I have...
Follow the instructions in that book and you will become a stand-up comedian.
Maybe successful, maybe not. But
yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
I do a quick fire round with all of my authors. So that's,
yes.
Okay, so slightly adapted.
It's my favourite sort of round.
Good to hear it. Mm. Okay, so it starts off pretty generic, I guess. Books or Kindles?
Books.
Every author says that. I don't know why I even ask it. Heroes or villains?
Villains.
Edinburgh Festival or London Apollo?
Edinburgh Festival, probably.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tricky one.
Oh, really? That's the one that catches you out.
I mean, I love films. I love the cinema. What, for this book?
Yeah.
I'd go for, yeah, I'd love a film. I mean, someone has already approached me about a TV adaptation of it, so I'm hoping it will get adapted, and we would need to find someone very special to play Matt.
Oh, that's okay. Heard it here first. Fun Kids listeners' ears pricking up there.
Yeah.
Writing or reading?
Writing.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Narnia, I think.
Two Ronnies or Morecambe and Wise?
That's impossible.
That is really tricky. Laptop or write by hand?
A bit of both. I mean, I always write by hand with a fountain pen, you know, rough notes, and then obviously when I get down to it, you have to type it.
You have
really
to go for it. X Factor or Britain's Got Talent?
I'm a glutton for the X Factor. You know, I wrote a musical about it, so I have to say that.
I saw that musical. I loved
it. Did you?
Thanks. Yeah. Bookshop
it was you.
Visit. Had a lovely time. Bookshop visit or school tour?
School tour.
Billy Connolly or Eddie Izzard?
I'd probably go for Billy. But no offence, Eddie.
If he's listening, sold Ed. Finally, salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Cheese and onion.
Cheese. Oh, let me down. The last one.
Sorry.
Oh, man. Right, so we should say, Harry Hill, Matt Mills is out right now.
Yep.
Everyone could go and get it.
It comes out on the 19th of October.
The 19th of October? Hopefully this interview will go out in a few weeks. It'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, it comes out on the 19th of October in hardback.
Grand.
Perfect for Giftmas.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Cheers.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Harry. Can we get a little snippet of the book as well, please?
This is Matt Mills by me, Harry Hill, and we'll start with chapter one, Defying Gravity. He prowled the stage like a prize fighter, rolling out one-liners in waves. Bang, that was a belter. Whack, that one was a killer. Pow, that one knocked them dead on their feet. The audience were reeling now, dazed. Their heads were thrown back in laughter. They were out of control. Tears were streaming down their hot, sweaty faces. Snot was bubbling out of their noses. Three of them looked like they were about to choke. Then, just as the laughter was starting to subside, thwack! He let rip with another gag, even funnier than the last. Splat, bop, kaboom. And when he first walked out on stage, they'd been just a room full of people. Now they were a single being, united in their love of his stand-up comedy skills. That's all from me. Good night, he shouted and was gone. As he walked off the stage of the mighty Hammersmith Apollo, the applause was deafening, and Matt Mills, aged just 12, loved every minute of it. They're on their feet, Matt, gushed the MC as Matt passed him in the wings. They want a bit more. You'd better go back on or there'll be a riot. Matt rolled his eyes as if taking this kind of adulation from a few thousand people was a daily occurrence. Then the chanting started. More, more, more. We want Matt Mills. We want Matt Mills. Just another day at the office, said Matt, his face breaking into a smile. With that, he turned a full 180 and walked back out to meet his crowd, to even bigger cheers than before. Three encores later, and Matt found himself at the stage door, fighting his way through a barrage of flashes. A huge crowd of paparazzi and excited fans had gathered with cameras and smartphones held aloft. Matt, can I get a selfie? Matt, will you sign my ticket? Matt, will you sign my dad's bald head? Girls, boys, men, women, children, people of all ages, sizes and colours were clamouring for a piece of him. Matt, I love you, screamed one old lady, clutching a bottle of beer and a felt-tip pen. I love me too, he quipped to another massive laugh. He couldn't help himself. He was just so funny.
Thank you very much to Harry Hill for popping by the Fun Kids studio. We are going to be chatting to John Bergerman right now about his brand new picture book, Rhyme Crime. So hello and welcome to Fun Kids, John.
Oh, thanks for having me here.
Thank you for coming along. So you have a brand new book out.
I do. It's called Rhyme Crime.
You look really scared by that.
It's just a lot of work. No, and it's a lot of responsibility, isn't it?
Sure it is, yeah.
It's like a new little thing that I've made is now out into the world. I've got to look after it.
Does it feel like releasing a pet into the wild and being like, will
you
be okay?
It's a little bit of my brain has been plucked out and squished and turned into a book and sent off.
You're the first author to ever describe releasing a book in that way.
That's how it feels.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. There's a little bit of me out there, I guess.
A strand of your mind has just been like, right, there
I
we go.
I think so. That's what books are, aren't they? It's a little bit of my imagination that I've kind of formalised and printed and made. I mean, I've not printed it. Someone else has printed it.
No, tell everyone you have printed it. Just
I printed it and cut out all the squares and stapled them together.
Bind it together as well. And
a little bit, yeah. And then, you know, put it out there.
Really hands-on process.
Think. Yeah, well, you know, it's a personal touch.
Sure it is. So the book is all about a thief who steals things and then he replaces them with things that rhyme.
That's right. Because, you know, stealing is wrong, so... soften the blow a little bit, the thief replaces the object with something else, hoping that the victim doesn't notice.
But do they notice? Is it spoiling the book? I don't know.
I think they do notice in most cases.
Because is it like something really obviously not the thing they've...
Yeah, I mean, if you're on a... If you're on a chair reading your book and then it gets swiped and now you're sat on a bear.
Yes.
That might cause alarm.
I was like, hair or bear? Which one? Hair or bear?
Well, you know, that's the fun thing. You can play around with it. But I think the victims do recognize something is amiss.
The victims.
Yeah.
There's victims of this terrible crime.
Yeah.
What happens? Does the thief get their comeuppance?
Well, you can imagine you're going around stealing stuff. And it's a it's a bit of linguistic, playful. Like it's a challenge because you can steal something, you're going to have to find something that replaces it that rhymes. And what would happen if you take an object that doesn't have a particularly obvious rhyme? You might be in a bit of trouble.
Can you say what it is?
Can I say what it is?
Yeah, please do.
It might be a fruit. A round, orangey fruit.
I don't
want to say too much.
Okay,
but you can imagine.
So,
in that instance, the thief might be a bit stuck. Because he's got a method. The thief has got a methodology for pinching things.
It's like Robin Hood-esque, isn't it? Like, he's taking them away, but he's giving something back as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's hoping no one would notice. But, that might delay the the stealing process.
He's just so desperate to steal something. He's like, but I must take it, but I...
Yeah, give and take, an equal measure. Well, not quite equal, but,
So is the book out right now?
It is. It's in bookshops, and... it's out now.
And it's not your first book either.
No.
You've done loads of them.
It's like buses.
Yeah.
I waited a long time to make some books and then loads happened all at once. Earlier this year, I had a book come out. My first picture book was called Splat.
Yes.
It has an exclamation mark at the end of it.
Splat. I've seen it, like a big kind of, it's big bright colour, isn't it?
Yes.
The cover, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a funny book as well.
Do you like making books that are fun and bright and silly?
Yeah, because I think that's how my world is, or how I am, or how I want things to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
It's tough to make really, you know, tragic sort of chill picture book literature. I mean,
that's a tough sell.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the books I responded to as a kid, I think, and all respond to now. Mm-hmm. I really make them for myself, to be honest. Can I say that?
Yeah, of course you can.
Kids can enjoy them as well if they like, but mainly they're for me.
That's great. As long as you... I mean, you've got to like what you do, right?
Of course. Yeah. You've got to be excited to do it. And it's been a lot of fun.
Were you always, like, quite creative as a kid as well? Like, always just making stuff and doing things?
Yeah, I mean, I loved art at school. I used to make comic books with my friends and... I used to design posters and merchandise for imaginary movies, you know.
Yeah, cool.
So I used to be into all that kind of stuff. Always making stuff. It's so fun to have an idea and then try and, you know, realise it or see it come alive as you're making it. I mean, quite often I start and I don't really know what I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the excitement because you're discovering as you're creating.
Because I've seen on your Instagram as well, like, you're really creative there. Like, do you just think, like, I've just got to put something out there and just pick, like, a media for it, like, whether it's a book or a video?
No, I like to use whatever's around.
Right.
So I post a lot on my Instagram and Instagram stories when I'm traveling, when I'm on the subway or, you know, walking around, because that's what I've got in my hand or in my pocket.
Yeah.
And it's very immediate. So it's very quick. Take a picture, draw on it, or, like, draw a picture and photograph it. It's very quick. And then, you know, when I'm at my studio or at home, I'll use pen and paper or, you know, bits of cereal or some salad.
Just whatever's around.
Yeah, some dry pasta. Anything. I mean, that's the challenge. I think to be creative, you don't need a lot. Actually, to be creative, it's better to have some sort of restriction. And then, like, the fun is, like, how can I take this and do something with it? So you might only have 2 minutes to make something, or you might only have a piece of paper and no pen. Like, can I tear it? Can I make some little holes? Can I draw something on my fingers and poke it through? Can I? And then having those limitations forces you to be creative, and I think that's where like the fun comes.
Now, every author who comes in here, we have a little kind of quick fire round question.
Okay.
Situation going on. Is that okay if I do that with you right now?
All right.
Okay, cool. Some of them I think are pretty easy. It starts off really easy. Okay. Books or Kindles?
Oh. Books.
Yeah, every author says that, like, hands down. I don't even know why I ask it, to be honest.
I have a Kindle somewhere at home. It's not mine. And then I had to recharge it.
Well, is it like your thief? Is it somebody stolen it and replaced it with a schmindel?
What's sad is I was going to say schmindel.
Oh, no. We're the same. Heroes or villains?
Heroes.
Heroes? New York or Nottingham?
New York. Oh. Sorry, Nottingham. But that's where I live right now.
I know. Just checking where your heart lay. Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Oh, maybe TV adaptation.
Writing or reading?
Ooh, that's a really tough one. Maybe writing.
Okay, Hogwarts or Narnia?
Narnia. Sorry, everyone. That's what I grew up with.
It's up to you. It's fine. I'm not judging you.
I like Hogwarts as well.
It's cool. Laptop or write by hand?
Laptop.
How to eat pizza or splat?
Ooh. How to eat splat.
Yeah, I'll let you have that. Bookshop visit or school tour?
Now, I've just had 2 days in a school, so bookshop.
Yeah, I can imagine. Felt tip or paint?
Felt tips.
And salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar all day.
Yes, that's the right answer. I get really cross when people say cheese and onion.
But like, if you eat cheese and onion, you can't talk to anyone for a few hours.
Exactly. Salt and vinegar, delicious.
And then you're good
fine
to go.
Socially. Yeah. It stresses me out when people say cheese and onion.
You can't get salt and vinegar like all over the world, so it feels more special to come back to England and eat it.
You can't really?
Yeah, and then it's not as prevalent.
I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's blown my mind.
Well, they change the colours and you end up with something else.
I knew that.
Sour cream and something. Oh, dear.
It's not the same. It's not the same. Right, so we should say your book is out right now.
Yep.
Rhyme Crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's big black and white front cover.
Oh, yeah.
It looks well good.
It's got a die cut. It's a die cut cover.
I don't know what that means.
That's right. Yeah. It means there's shapes cut out of the cover. So when you open the front cover, something else is revealed. Yeah.
Woo. Oh,
I'm very
goodness.
Excited. I think that's the most exciting thing.
You know now you're going to get people running to bookshop just opening and closing, not buying it, just opening and closing the book.
You can do that. Okay. I mean, touch it, you buy it.
That's the rule. Okay, fair enough. Well, thanks for coming in, John. Cheers.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Brilliant stuff from John Bergman. His book is out right now. Go and check it out. It's really funny, really silly, big and colourful as well. Now it's time for the answer to my trivia question. In case you're wondering, don't worry, I've got the answer right now. The question was, which was the first ever Mr. Men book? Was it A, Mr. Tickle, B, Mr. Happy, or C, Mr. Bump? Well, I can tell you the answer is Mr. Tickle. Apparently because the author's son once asked him what a tickle would look like, and that is what he came up with. Right, that's pretty much it from me today in the Fun Kids Book Club. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to go and subscribe and like it, go right now. Go and do it on iTunes. Remember, you can listen to all of the Fun Kids podcasts totally for free via funkidslive.com or on iTunes. Bye! So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.